to be here again this evening. It's good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Thankful for the wonderful hospitality that we've experienced, your love and expression of love and concern for us. You know, we didn't come down here thinking that, I wonder if they're going to treat us poorly. We know you too well for that. Just want to express our thanks for all your love and care and your expression of that. And we've been very well provided for.
Thanks, Lord.
Appreciate the saints of God. If you would, we'll bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Our loving Father in heaven, we thank you for another opportunity to be in the house of worship. Lord, we feel so keenly our need of you and of your anointing and your help. As Brother Doug said, you've chosen through the foolishness of preaching to spread the gospel message and give opportunity for people to hear your wonderful truths and of your love and your mercy and your grace. So we ask, Lord, that you would do the work that only you can do tonight through your Holy Spirit, that you would use just the lips of clay to do something marvelous, that you might be glorified and praised and lifted up in the earth. In Jesus' name we pray.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. I'm thankful to be saved.
Amen.
Brother Doug sang that beautiful song. And those words, neither do I condemn thee. That's a wonderful feeling.
Yes, amen.
When you're laboring under the burden and guilt of sin and you hear the words of forgiveness and you're free from condemnation and guilt, that's a wonderful miracle.
Amen.
Thank the Lord for that. It's our desire for every person in the world to experience that. And that's God's desire. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to Him. All should experience the love of God and the mercy of God. I'd like to draw your attention this evening to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel in chapter 28. Entitled The Thoughts This Evening, The Cost of Disobedience. The Cost of Disobedience. When you actually think about the cost of disobedience to the family of man, it's a staggering thing to consider. The cost that the family of man has incurred through disobedience from the beginning in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve and down through today is just a tragedy. And it continues on and on. I'd like to look at this specific example here of Saul for a few minutes this evening and endeavor to spur our thinking a little bit about maybe the way we should look at disobedience and if we could try to be a little more aware of what the cost of that is and what it has been for other people and in reality what it will be for each and every person. 1 Samuel 28, starting with verse 6, or verse 5, and Saul saw the host of the Philistines, and he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And Saul was afraid not just for himself, but he was afraid for his people. He was faced with going out to war against the Philistines, and he was unsure of himself, and he was afraid. And in verse 6 it says, and when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by any of the prophets. He got no answer from God. He sought help, he sought an answer, he sought assurance, but he received none. And then, if you're familiar with this story, Saul, in his desperation and despair, he asked that they would find someone that was skilled in witchcraft. Someone that could find out something other than through calling upon God.
Yeah.
That's how afraid he was, and that's how desperate he was. And that was a particular strange thing to say, in that he had earlier in his life endeavored to drive anyone like that out of Israel, because he was endeavoring to do and to choose right. And he was standing against anyone that had familiar spirits and wizards. In verse 9 there, you read that about how Saul had cut off those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. And that's what this woman that they found for him pointed out to him when he came to her. And of course, he promised her that nothing would happen to her. But he asked her to bring up Samuel for him. And you know about Saul's interaction with Samuel and how he had anointed him and set him up as king over Israel. And he had died in his old age. And now Saul was in desperation to hear from heaven, to hear from God, and he could get no answer, and he asked this woman to bring up Samuel. And when that happened, in verse 15, Samuel said to Saul, "Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up?" And of course Saul said, "I am sorely distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do." And then said Samuel, "Wherefore dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord has departed from thee and has become thine enemy?" And in verse 18, "Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executeth his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day." But Samuel went on and he told him what was going to happen, that he was going to be defeated. And he told him that he and his sons were going to die, and the Lord would deliver the host of Israel into the hands of their enemies. And Saul, it says, fell onto the earth and was sore afraid. And as I was thinking about this example, I wanted to have us start here at the end somewhat. And if you go on down, you'll read what happened to him and how in the end he committed suicide. But I wanted to start with that because when you think about the cost of disobedience, Saul is a stunning example of that. And this is the end result.
Yes.
This isn't necessarily the result that happened the day the disobedience started. This is an end result. I said that when you actually think about the cost of disobedience to the family of mankind, it's a staggering cost.
Yes, amen.
And yet we live in a world where disobedience is regarded as normal, as allowable,
yeah,
as almost expected behavior.
Yes, that's true.
Disobedience to God, mm-hmm, disobedience to parents,
mm-hmm,
disobedience to civil authorities, to man's laws, to God's laws. And it's gone so far that there's even a denial of any responsibility, that it's out of humanity's control to decide to obey or to force themselves to obey. So it's increasingly accepted as normal behavior. But I believe that there's a very severe cost to disobedience. And if it was something that is out of our control, that we're not responsible for, it would not be consistent with a loving and just God for Him to impose a cost upon us for our disobedience. Let's look back in Samuel 15. First Samuel 15. You have here in verse 1, when Samuel was speaking with Saul, he gave him the initial instruction. In verse 2, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." And of course, Saul gathered all the people together, and he numbered them, and he led them up to Amalek. And I believe that most of you know the story, how they went up there and they destroyed almost everything.
Yep, almost.
They had the instruction, they had the plan. They went up there and they destroyed almost everything. And Saul, you know, started out well. He was a humble man. He didn't seek to be king. And I think that he had the desire in his heart to do the right thing, a love for the people. But he ended up here in this situation when he was told to destroy everything, and he went there to do it, that something happened.
Yep.
Something came along that changed his mind.
Yep. Lord, help us.
He saw some things there, and the people saw some things there that were good to look at. There were some really good, fine animals there. There were some things that were really nice, and they didn't really want to destroy it. After all, you know, the animals weren't evil. They could be put to good use. They could be sacrificed to God. And some things just didn't quite make sense to them. And they decided that, and they brought it to Saul and said, you know, we don't really think we should destroy everything. We've destroyed and destroyed, but we don't think we should destroy everything. And, of course, if you read a little farther down in chapter 15, Samuel came up after the Lord had told him what had happened. And in verse 11 says, "It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments." And it grieved Sam when the Bible says he cried unto the Lord all night. He was so grieved to hear that there was this disobedience. This was failure to follow his commandments. But in verse 13, when Samuel came to Saul, Saul said unto him, "Blessed be thou the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. I've done what I was told to do." And Samuel said, "Well, are you sure about that? Because I hear some noise." And Saul said there in verse 15, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. He didn't really view himself as disobedient. There was reasons. There was explanations. I basically did what everybody wanted, or what I was told. I basically did what you instructed me. And then whenever it went on down a little farther, he said, well, I feared the people and obeyed their voice. There's reasons why this happened. I didn't intend to disobey. I did pretty much what I was told to do. But Samuel had said to Saul there in verse 16, and said, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And Samuel told him, when you were little in your own eyes, you were made the head of the tribes of Judah. And the Lord anointed the king. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? In verse 22, we have a very familiar passage of Scripture. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he also rejecteth thee from being king. So you see here that God viewed it very differently than Saul did. Saul said, I went out and did what I was told. There was just this little bit of an area that didn't quite make sense, so we chose a better path. And God said, that's not so. That's not right. I would much rather you obeyed than that you claim to be offering sacrifices and giving things and doing things for me. And he rejected Saul from being king because of this thing. The cost of disobedience. We as human beings, we want to justify it. We want to explain it. We want to think that it doesn't make a big difference. Those are things that, you know, we can exercise our judgment on. You know, the Bible tells us that God is unchanging.
Right. Amen.
The same God that was leading his people when Samuel and Saul were alive is identically the same God today.
Amen.
He hasn't changed in his thinking. He hasn't changed in his expectations. He hasn't changed in his desires for humanity to listen to what he says and obey it. Rebellion and stubbornness are greatly offensive unto God.
Amen.
The cost of disobedience. Now, if you read on down a little farther there, you see where when Saul was faced with this statement of judgment that he was rejected from being king, he acknowledged his transgression and he asked that it be pardoned and that Samuel would go with him before the people and he could worship the Lord. But it seems that that wasn't a true, sincere expression of sorrow for wrong. He wanted things to be made right in the eyes of the people. He didn't want to be removed from being king. But it doesn't seem that he really repented before God.
That's right.
Because if you follow on down through what happened, visibly on the outside from the people that were there standpoint, they didn't know what God had done. It doesn't say Samuel got up and announced that Saul was rejected from being king. He ended up going with him and praying with him before he left, before the people worshiping the Lord. But Saul knew that something had changed, and it isn't very long until you find him being troubled with the evil spirit. And you see him doing things, attempting to kill David, that God chose, fighting against him. And it went on and on through the years until he ended up where we started in chapter 28, of one that was unable to talk to God. And that for him was the cost of disobedience. He was unwilling to change, to accept God's judgment, to give up the kingship. I think that if he had really responded with true repentance and godly sorrow and stepped down as king, that you would have had a very different outcome for Saul. But one of the costs of disobedience is it tends to be progressive. It tends to lead you from one disobedience to another disobedience.
Yeah.
And it tends to take you farther and farther away from God. Now we can read or hear about a story like this, and there's other ones we can mention in the Bible. We could talk about Adam and Eve. We could talk about Judas. We could talk about Moses when he was told to speak to the rock and he struck it instead.
Yeah.
All those disobedience, they had cost involved. But we can read or hear about these types of examples, but often we don't relate them to ourselves.
It's true.
They're good for humanity in general. Matter of fact, I know some people they're really good for. But we don't necessarily relate them to ourselves.
Yeah.
Because there's something in humanity that has a tendency to want to accept a little disobedience. You want to excuse a little disobedience. You don't want to do a real big disobedience, but a little disobedience, we are human. And I'm not saying we're not human or that we're perfect in that sense, but whenever we start making an allowance for disobedience, it can be dangerous.
True.
So we start to excuse it, we start to overlook it, and there can almost be a little bit of approval. There's a little boldness there, you know, I'm brave. I'm not afraid to be a little bit of a rebel. A little rebellion's okay. Now, you might think as you're listening to that, well, you know, that's not true. But I'm talking about where we actually live and how we actually live and how we actually see other people living. And if you're honest, I think you could identify with that. You can see that. And you can see the human tendency to do that. After all, you know, I need to have some freedom to decide what's right for myself. Can't be expected to just follow instructions. You know, some of those rules don't necessarily apply to me. I don't really see why God would require that. That's just man's thinking, man's interpretation of God's word. I don't really think that God would require that. I mean, he wouldn't want me to slay all the animals, right?
Seems reasonable.
Yes, it's a reasonable thing. You know, we got to use our intelligence. You know, we can explain this. You know, this is a new age. The world hasn't ever been like this before. We have all this new stuff. You know, you have to. Or how about, you know, I'm doing the best I can with what I have to work with. You know, the people around me. They're pressuring me. You know, I can only do so much.
That's right.
And if we're not careful, it's just like Saul.
Yeah.
There's always these reasons why. Explanations why. There's excuse for disobedience. I'd like to just think a little bit more about that thought of the cost of disobedience. I said that it's the cost for humanity is beyond measurement, really, I believe.
Sure.
If you really take a little time and just think about that, all the problems that we as a nation, we as a world are facing, how much of it's rooted in just disobedience? Disobedience to God's laws.
Amen.
Disobedience to proper authority. But you can break it down and you can look at it across the spectrum of humanity. One thing we see a lot of today is disobedient children. Children that don't obey their parents.
That's right.
And you know, a lot of people think that's perfectly ordinary. A lot of people, I don't think, have any other expectation than that. You know, children they don't obey their parents. It's an unfortunate reality of life. You just have to make the best of it. But the cost of that is, you know, a lot of times children fall outside of their parents' protection through disobedience. There's a lot of disruption of homes and families because of disobedience. And here it is, it's just accepted. It's seen as normal, not an avoidable thing. There's a whole environment and a lot of homes and families of anger and disconnectedness and just discontent that's there because of disobedience. And there's a lot of emotional abuse that comes about because of that. Because of the disobedience there, it's just everything's wrong, everything's off. And that's just the beginning of life. But that's the world we live in to a great extent. And you can look at disobedient young people that we have today and just the setting aside of law and justice, other people's rights. You know, a disobedient person can't really be taught effectively.
It's true.
They can't be led effectively. They can't be a productive part of society really well. They might do some things, but they're not a really good, productive part of society because you're just living in disobedience and rebellion. And it makes people very vulnerable to addictions and perversions and predators, all kind of problems. So much of it is a cost of disobedience. It's difficult for people to hear God's voice when they're living in rebellion. If you've learned and look at all of life as a rebellion against authority, then it's not going to be easy to submit to God's authority. And we have disobedient adults going around breaking laws and stealing, and lying, and cheating other people. And you know, we have an enormous percentage of the population, even on a worldwide basis, of our population that's in prison. And now we've got where a lot of crimes aren't even being prosecuted. People are breaking laws, but there's just not enough people to enforce it. There's not enough place to put the lawbreakers in. And the conscience and the hearts of these people becomes very, very hard toward God. Because they've disobeyed and they're so disobedient and rebellious. The cost is almost unbelievable. And all of this tends toward an unhappy and unfulfilled life. You see it all around you. The people that are just suffering and in despair and misery, living in disobedience, separated from God, vulnerable to all the lust and the temptations of Satan. And it's so often a downward road, just like it was with Saul. You know, the suicide rate, the destroyed lives that we see around us, so much of that is because of disobedience. So here we are, we're God's creation. We're living on God's earth. And what God made us to have a relationship with Him.
Yes, amen.
And we're living under His laws.
Yep.
His natural laws and His moral laws. It's all created by God and it's designed for humanity. And it's created in a way that will bring blessing and fulfillment and perfection of a as much as a human life can hold, God has planned for His creation. And here we are with so many people that are just living in rebellion and disobedience to all God's laws. His just authority. He's not unjust. He's in no way bringing people into bondage or trying to hurt people. It's His just authority over His creation. And the Bible tells us that if you live in disobedience to God, in rebellion against God, that you end up in a place of eternal punishment. That's where you're going.
Yep.
That's the cost of disobedience. You know, the devil and all of his angels are living in rebellion against God. That's what they're doing. They're in rebellion against God, and they're suffering the punishments of that. But they're rebelling against that which is good and that which is right. And whenever you disobey God's laws, you're in the same place they are as far as you're cut off from God. You're separated from God. While you're alive here in this world, that's not yet a permanent judgment upon you. But if you're living in disobedience to God, you're on that same path. And if you die in that state, you will be there with the devil and his angels in the place of punishment for all those that are in rebellion against God.
Amen.
And there is absolutely no comfort, no pride to be found in that achievement. There's no one that's going to end up in hell that's going to take any pride in their rebellion at that point.
No.
They're not going to have any sense that, well, at least I had my own way. There's only going to be regret. The cost of disobedience to God is truly a staggering cost. Now, I'd like to speak for just a couple minutes about intentions. Because when Saul started out down that road to Amalek, he did not intend to disobey. And there's a lot of people in the world today that I don't think intend to disobey. And this is a reality for us today, personally, even as Christians. It's possible that we have the best of intentions. We don't intend to disobey God.
No.
But I wanted just to think about that a little bit, that Saul's good intentions when he started out on that trek did not achieve what he was planning. When some pressure came upon him, when some discussion came up, he didn't have the strength. He didn't have the determination. He wasn't fully set to obey. And those good intentions weren't strong enough to carry him through. And his good intentions did not matter. Samuel didn't pronounce what he did upon him, and God didn't pronounce what he did upon him, because whenever Samuel gave him that instruction, he said in his heart, I'm not going to do that. The judgment came upon him because in the end result, he didn't obey. He didn't do what he was told. He didn't do the right thing. The results is what matters, and that's what we're going to be judged by. A lot of times we like to judge ourselves by our intentions. Well, I wanted it to work out right. I wasn't intending to really do anything wrong here. I planned to be there or to do the right thing. Or I didn't want to disobey God. Those good intentions will not stand in our favor. They will not offset the results that we achieve. I don't believe that Eve went out that morning to walk through the garden and walk by that tree and said, you know, today is the day I'm going to taste of that fruit. That wasn't her intention, but when that serpent spoke to her and persuaded her, she disobeyed God.
Yes.
And they were cast out of the garden. and cut off from God. And Moses didn't intend to strike that rock. When God said to speak to that rock, I think he went up there and he was going to speak to that rock. But the people got him upset. And he got a little frustrated and he acted in haste and he struck that rock. And it's not that God cast him away. But there was a cost to that disobedience. He wasn't allowed to go into the promised land. He wasn't allowed maybe to do all that he could have done for his people if he would have obeyed exactly what God said. And I don't believe that Judas had any intention to be a part of Jesus' death. He just wanted some money. And I think his intention was that he could take advantage of the Pharisees and those and get some money from them and everything would still be fine. But he wasn't judged by his intentions. He was judged by what he did. The cost of disobedience often greatly exceeds what a person has rationalized in their mind that it should be. It's just a small thing. It's not a big deal. It's not really going to matter in the overall sense. And the Bible tells us, Jesus said, that many people are going to say in the day of judgment, Lord, I've worked for you. I've done your work. I've been faithful to you. I've come to church and I've told people about you and I've done all these things. And they're going to have an expectation. They had good intentions and they tried to do what was right. And Jesus said, I'm going to say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. Why? Because you work iniquity. You disobey. You didn't obey the law, the teachings, the gospel message. Maybe you didn't really come to me and seek forgiveness. You just tried to form your own religion and way to heaven, and you persuaded yourself in your mind that you're one of God's children. But those that he says to depart out into everlasting punishment are going to be those that disobey him, that rebel against his word, his teaching, his spirit, endeavoring to lead them and instruct him. And that is the cost, the final cost of disobedience. God requires obedience to his law, his word, his way.
Amen.
That's not a great mystery. The Bible tells us that.
Yes, amen.
That's not hidden from mankind. That's the word of God. That's the heart of God. That's the reason that he came, was to bring that gospel message and to tell people what the requirement is. And God's ways, the Bible tells us, are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. It's not our job to figure out whether what God says for us to do is really reasonable or not. Our job is to believe God in faith and obey. We sing a song, Trust and Obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus.
Amen.
We have to obey. As we come to the end of this message, I wanted to ask us a couple questions to think about. And one is, have you made up your mind to obey God? I'm not asking you if you have intentions to do good things. I'm not asking if you're planning to disobey. Because you could easily say, no, I'm not planning to disobey God. I'm asking, have we really made up our mind to obey? I don't think any of us are sitting here thinking, oh, I'm going to disobey God. I mean, there might be someone that's living in rebellion against God that would say that, but that's not normally the experience of humanity, unless you're really hardened in sin. But I'm asking, have you made up your mind to obey God? Have I really made, is that my mind? Is that my mindset? I'm going to obey God because I know there's a cost to disobedience that I don't want to pay. And I can't rely on my good intentions, my desires, my plans to not get in trouble, to be good enough. I need to be fully persuaded that I'm going to obey God. I think if we get an accurate understanding of the cost of disobedience, it can give us a really big advantage in life. It can really help us in life. Because if we're aware of that cost, it should be a warning to us. Living obedience to God is the best way to live, the safest way to live. The beauty of the gospel message is, as the song that Brother Doug sang, you could fall into disobedience through neglect, through lack of understanding, through temptation, whatever it might be. You can fall into disobedience like the woman there that was caught in a very act of adultery. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into this world and He died on a cross. He shed His blood to forgive us of our sins.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
That's what sin is. It's rebellion. It's disobedience to God and His laws. It's breaking His commandments. And He's come into the world for the purpose of sparing us from the cost of disobedience. As Brother Doug said, to wipe that out of His remembrance, not hold it against us forever no more. He'll totally wipe it out. As far as the east is from the west, He'll throw it in the sea of His forgetfulness. Our disobedience can be wiped clear and clean.
Yes, thank the Lord.
Through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If we've disobeyed God, if we're living in a state of rebellion and disobedience to God, we're living under the judgment of that. But while there's life,
yes,
while there's time, we have the opportunity to escape that judgment.
Yes.
We have the opportunity to wipe that slate clean, to do away with that price that's hanging over our head that we cannot pay. So how do you view disobedience? Do you abhor it? Do you fear it? Do you despise it? In the sense that we're fully persuaded in our mind, we are not going to disobey God. I'm not going to disobey God with His help. Or are you a little bit comfortable with it? If we're a little bit comfortable with disobedience, I would encourage us to think about that and to ask God to help us to see clearly. Because the Word of God doesn't encourage that. It doesn't allow room for a little bit of disobedience against God. We have the examples that God gave of requiring complete obedience to Him. And it can be very dangerous to be comfortable with disobedience. If you're here tonight and you're living without God in your life and you're disobeying His laws and His instructions and His word, if you've neglected to claim the blood of Christ as He's instructed us to, I would encourage you to seek the Lord. Seek for mercy and help and forgiveness to be free from that judgment that Saul labored under. And we as Christians, if we're here tonight and we haven't really thought about this, I just encourage each one of us just to think about that, internalize that, and have it clear in our own mind that it's not just my intentions, but I'm fully determined to obey God, no matter what the cost might be. I'm not going to rely on my own understanding. I'm not going to rely on my own desires to be my guide and my direction in life. But I am going to fully obey my God. May the Lord bless you. Help us as we endeavor to serve and walk with Him.
story of Saul is definitely a sad story. As Brother Doug opened up the message and I wrote the thoughts and the verses, and it said that when Saul cried to God, God answered him not. That touched my heart to a point. I said, what a sad point. You cry out to God, he's not there. You plead with God, he's not there. You fall upon your face, you weep, he's not there. And there's nothing that you or anyone can do to get God to change his mind. But I thank God, the Bible lets us know, today is the day of mercy. Today is the day of salvation. And God, we can call upon God. And as I said earlier, he'll answer. Lord, help us never to get to a point to where he'll never answer us ever again. And God sometimes calls. He calls and he pleads and he calls and he invites. And we say no and we say no and we reject him. We turn him down. That may be our last call. I say that because in my mother's last days, the last couple days of her life, I sat at her bedside and I sat with my guitar and I played songs and talked to her. I have no light that she sought salvation. She knew that her days were very short, but there was no repentance in her heart that I could see. And I thought, in my time, I thought, surely people can get saved in their last days. But you know, God sometimes calls and calls and pleads and calls. And then when we call, God says, I'm not here. That's what he did with Saul. Very solemn service. The cost. The cost. Lord, help us to remember that cost. If you'd like to get a songbook and stand, turn to page 373. If there's a need in the audience, we give you an opportunity to come to an altar of prayer. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptation lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, my Savior, I come to We need God every moment of the day. And help us to recognize that. Appreciate each one being in service tonight. Thank the Lord for a day that he's given to us. We're kind of thankful. A couple ones I was talking to, the weather has somewhat changed.